We're back with another episode of the Evolve Your Brand podcast. And I've got another spontaneous guest jumping on today. He is Coach Alex Beasley, originally from Venezuela, living in the United States right now. And he is a transformational breakup recovery coach. And we had a really interesting chat talking about betrayal and what that emotion and experience is like. And I thought it would be so cool to have him come on and talk to us today. Without further ado, welcome on the podcast, Alex.
Well, thank you for having me. Just to rectify a little bit, like I'm from France. I was born in France. My mother is from Venezuela, so That's what it is. Yeah.
Get the Venezuelan blood and the French connection. So Let's dive right into it. What was this experience or moment in your life where you experienced betrayal that's led you to now helping others to deal with something similar?
Okay, so the betrayal I experienced was, so, you know, it was a first real love situation where when I graduated high school, I decided, my father had moved to the US for a year already, and I decided to go and closer to him to the US so I could learn English for 1 year. But at the time, you know, I had been in that relationship with this girl for about 2 years already, and we couldn't resolve to end the relationship before I left. And we had told each other that she might come to the US too. So I was kind of here in New York City waiting for her to join me, right? But it didn't go that way. So I came to the US. I was, you know, in this English school where I was taking classes every day to learn English, surrounded by all these foreigners. And so what happened was, as soon as I left, everything changed. Like, she just started being more distant. And basically everything we had said to each other before I left kind of didn't hold anymore. And so for a long time, I was kind of just in denial. I was still trying to text her, figuring out, like, you know, okay, so what's happening? When are you coming and stuff? And I could see that she wasn't on the same page anymore. And I had planned to go back to France in December to see her. So I had left, at the end of August, September, so September, October, November, December. So yeah, about like maybe three to four months away from her. And a week before I went back to France to go and see her and visit her, like, she called me on the phone and she broke up with me.
Wow.
And so that was crazy, because that was literally the only reason I was coming back to France. Like, when I went there, my mom wasn't even there. So I went there and I was by myself. And at that time, I just had given her a lot of my stuff so she could, you know, do what she needed to do while I was away. I was just like, okay, you can take my scooter. I had a little scooter, like, you know, motorcycle type of situation. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be here. So if you want to move around, you can use it. I was just like super naive and so nice and open-hearted that I just gave her everything. And she used it to the point where it wouldn't work anymore. So when I came home, the motorcycle broke down. She broke up with me. I had no way to move around. I was by myself. And then I started learning stuff. Oh, like, she was with that dude. Then there was a lot of other things happening around this situation. And so it was just really overwhelming. I had given my full trust to that person, and she really abused it in all the ways possible. And so every time, then after that, every time I would get a little better, like, month would pass, and some new details would come to my ears, and so it would just like take me back crashing down. So it's been tough to recover from that, and but it taught me a lot as well. And the problem and the reason I want to help people recover from breakups is for them to avoid the mistakes I did, because I didn't really know how to deal with my own emotion and how to process all that. And so I fell into the trap of, like, you know, falling into new relationships like right away when I wasn't ready for them, because I had so many trust issues. I was telling myself, oh, I'll never be in love again and stuff. So, like, you know, you involve yourself with people who actually are really nice people and that you care for, but you're not ready for it, and you're not emotionally available, and you end up hurting them.
I see that a lot of men are getting into these situations more and more these days, where they feel betrayed, they feel broken, they feel like they were let down and they were led on. And I'm wondering why you think that is. Why do you think you got into that situation? Like, do you think that men are weak these days in our society?
I think we're not taught how to deal with our emotions, and we're not taught how to set boundaries, clear boundaries, and recognize what's okay and not okay. So then we build all those expectations on how people should behave, when really it's up to us to set the standards and, you know, appropriate boundaries for them, for a bad situation not to happen to us. But the fact that we're not really taught how to deal with our emotions, it's complicated, because on some level, like, you know, before it was, oh no, don't, like, you know, it was kind of repressing our emotions so much and like not deal with them. And now it feels like it's the other extreme, where everyone is like super emotional and like, but we don't know how to, it's like, we act on emotions too much when we should learn how to feel them, but not act on them and understand what the message are from those emotions. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's a lot of reactivity in the world these days, and everyone is so quick to jump to conclusions about one another, and forgiveness is oftentimes lost.
Yeah.
You know, I really resonated with your story, because I had one experience that was kind of similar, where I met a girl in Australia and we started traveling around California. And when things ended, I went back to Australia to see her, and the communication wasn't the same. And some things happened, and I felt really hurt. But at least on that front, I was able to forgive that person, you know, for their age, their immaturity, and like what they were going through at the time, and move on. But I've also noticed in the coaching industry and becoming an online entrepreneur, a lot of people are in the paradigm of scarcity, and they're really coming from a place of competition, and everything is about who's doing better, are you stealing my clients, and a very competitive framework. So much so that I've been publicly, you know, shamed multiple times over the last 3 years. And I've experienced this quote unquote betrayal. Either someone felt that towards me, or I felt that towards others. And I know that that emotion is something that a lot of us just don't know how to deal with when it comes up, because it's so unique. And so what I'm wondering is, how do you let go of grudges and the story of betrayal?
You know, when you feel betrayed and you're blaming the other person, look, you might be right about a lot of things, and it's okay to acknowledge that. But what really helped me personally is when I started taking accountability for my part, when I realized that actually there was a bunch of red flags that I had ignored the whole time. because I didn't want to feel hurt by them at the time. I don't know, like I was, my best mechanism at the time was to self-preserve and ignore those red flags, right? But also later I started putting myself in her shoes and be like, oh yeah, but at the time this was happening in her life and she wasn't having a good time. And also I was kind of annoying and codependent, so I wasn't the best person, and that doesn't necessarily make her actions okay. But you can understand where the person was coming from. Oh yeah, okay, she hurt me, but she was going through something, and okay, levels of immaturity in that, but it wasn't necessarily personal. Like, she wasn't trying to actively hurt me. And even if she was trying to actively hurt me, that has nothing to do with me. That really has more to do with how she felt inside, and she didn't know how to deal with that situation in a better way, I guess. I mean, that's what helped me, like, release grudges.
Yeah, and you talked about how relationships are the biggest teachers in our life. And I really resonated with that, because I'm someone that really struggled with communication and relationships growing up. And I put all this time and effort into learning about masculine and feminine dynamics and the tonality that we use in our body language and the way in which to approach someone from a genuine or authentic or vulnerable place. And I've also come to realize there are so many lessons in friendship and in mentorship, whether, you know, you are being mentored by someone else or whether you are the coach or guide or consultant. Many times we carry patterns into our work, okay? Whether we're trying to get somewhere in life, or whether we've got clients as well, we carry these patterns that come up at certain points and express themselves as anger, as frustration, as victimhood, as blame. And it's those patterns that repeat over and over and over again until we not only become aware of them, but we also completely accept them and release around that subconscious pattern that's been programmed into our mind. And when it comes to actually pursuing purpose in life, I don't believe you can really truly be on your purpose if you're carrying around all this weight and all this baggage of your trauma and of your relationships that haven't been fully come to peace with. I guess my question to you is, what does finding purpose in life mean to you?
Well, finding purpose in my life. That's a loaded question too. It can go many ways, I guess.
I'm not giving you easy questions to walk over here, Alex. No, we're going to go deep. And you know, when it comes to finding your purpose, it really is indicative of how much you want to break free from the survival paradigm, the scarcity paradigm. So what's that been like for you, your journey towards becoming the hero of your story?
Yeah. Well, to me, the way I ended up being where I am today was really by studying my past, every big chapter of my life, and trying to see the connections and the lessons and what I took out of those situations. And hmm. I'm sorry. I have to think about this because that's an interesting question. But like for me, I always had the feeling, even when I was young, that I wanted to do something to make the world better. And they always say, you know, all those personal development people, they always say, get back to what you really liked when you were a kid, right? And when I was a kid, that's what it was. My dad loved traveling, and we traveled a bunch of different places when I was a kid. And we always saw, you know, I saw a lot of people struggling and a lot of injustice. And it was always something that I carried with me. And when I graduated from high school, I wanted to study political science because, you know, my mom is from Venezuela and I saw the situation over there and I wanted to do something, make the world a better place, right? Yeah. After those 2 years of political science, I just came out of there completely disillusioned by it, feeling like, oh, well, there's no way we can change anything from within the political system because every single people that have good ideas and want to do something for the better get killed, or then there's too much corruption and it's too tough. So then I decided to focus on myself, and then I came to, you know, the place of personal development and getting to know yourself and spirituality. And that's when I realized that for me, I think we change the world by changing ourselves within first. And when you get to know yourself, so getting to know yourself within your body, getting to know yourself, like who you are as a person, who do you want to become, what kind of impact you want to have on the people around you and on society, what's the value that you can bring to people, like how can you serve humanity in the best way with your own skills and like your authentic self, right? And for me, that was that. I always was, even in middle school, high school, I always was that friend that people, you know, felt comfortable to come and talk to, because I always had, like, I don't know, a good word or some insight to provide them, even though I didn't have, you know, I didn't have all the coaching skills that I had today, but that's always something that I was doing. And so when I heard about the coaching space and I looked into it, I was like, you know what? I think that's really what I'd like to do, because I don't want to get a career that I don't like just for money. I really want to do something that means something to me and that lights my heart up, that I'm excited to do every day. And at the end of the day, I think that's what it is, finding your purpose is to find something that you can do every day, that you're excited to do, and that you know you're doing good around the world and you're making people's life better. I think serving is the most, yeah, find how you can serve. That's how you find purpose. That's what I think.
Beautiful. I love it. And I think that finding out about the depths of understanding service on a deeper level allowed myself to create a more impactful experience for many of the people who have decided to pay me money and be a part of my coaching programs. Because I don't think that the service paradigm or pattern is something that I was grown up with in school or in society. You know, in order to serve others, you do need to serve yourself first. And I didn't ever have the chance to take that time to work on myself and serve myself until I left the United States in 2020, in 2012, when I was 21. But as I've grown more in my own development, being able to serve others on, it could be a micro or macro scale, is oftentimes the energetic shift that allows me to let go of the grudge, to let go of the anger or the frustration with that person. Or maybe I feel like they owe me an apology. But when I step more into that place of service, I no longer even need anything from that person. I can be completely at peace with them and with the world, just because I'm operating at this higher level frequency. So what's it been like for you to become more conscious and aware, and what's been the biggest shift in your ability to connect with yourself and with others?
Well, again, like relationships really helped with that, because they always give you feedback. You know, sometimes you say something and you don't mean anything weird. You don't mean anything mean, but you offended the person in front of you, and you're like, "Oh wow!" And then, like, you feel shame. You feel shame, and mm-hmm. later on, if you reflect on it, you might get the lesson. Oh, okay, why did I feel that way? Was that person right, or is she overreacting? But sometimes they're right, and you're like, "Oh wow, okay, I can't say that anymore." Or that what I said, like, yeah, no, that wasn't true. I can't, you know. So it's about being flexible and being willing to observe your own beliefs and thought patterns, because at the end of the day, nobody knows. I always come from the perspective that I don't know anything. I know what I think I know, but that's it. Someone might come along and tell me something that contradicts everything that I believe, and I have to be able to sit there and pay attention and try to understand where they're coming from in order to, you know, take what's good and weed out what I think is not aligned with the truth.
Yeah.
But that's really all it's about. And when you start doing this, then, well, that you're strengthening a muscle, which is like to be less judgmental and more open-minded. And when you're like that, then you argue less. Argue less, and you're able to have more conversation with more people. And when you approach people from a perspective of curiosity about learning, instead of trying to convince people that what you think is right, well, first of all, you learn. But second of all, then, like, people don't feel like you're fighting them. So you're able to build better connection, and we all learn. And I think that's a good thing. And for me, well, becoming more aware, it can be a sour pill too, because, like, for example, like talking about relationships, like maybe my relationship with my dad. When I moved to the US, it was the first time in 10 years that I lived in the same city as him. And I was really excited. And at that point, my dad, you know, I had idealized him, like, because he wasn't living with me. So every time I would see him, it was in vacation, and it was always great times. But I had this vision of him, like, he was like perfect, and he had a moral code that I had a moral code that I thought he had. And he's a great person, don't get me wrong, but he's a human being, and everyone is flawed. And I had repressed, I kind of had repressed all those feelings of, oh, my dad left when I was a kid. He's been away for 10 years. And I had repressed all that because I was seeking his validation. And during the lockdown of COVID, all these things came back up. And when they came back up, I got very angry. And I felt like I had to have the conversation with him, which is crazy, because we had had another conversation before that where I told him, no, I never had any resentment for you. You know, I was telling him, yeah, that I had no anger towards him, but I was lying to myself. He was there. I was just seeking that acceptance and love from him. So I thought that for him to love me, I had to say that to him. But it was so, when I said that to him, I really believed it. And then this year during COVID, everything came back up. And so we had that conversation. I just started telling him everything that he was doing that really disappointed me and pissed me in the way he acted sometimes, because he wasn't holding the standards I had for him. And then I realized that was really unfair.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm asking him to be a superhero, perfect model, and that's not fair at all. But that's a part of becoming more aware, right? Everything came back up and the anger is there. But then when it's expressed, we're able to shift the relationship and be like, okay, everything came out. We expressed. We still love each other. Now we can build on better foundations.
I think as men, we don't often have the opportunity to talk with other men about our experiences with our fathers. Yeah. And for many of us, you know, guys in the world, we are interacting in a certain way based off of the way in which our father treated us. And, you know, for me, that similar situation, I didn't hold back and say what I thought my father wanted to hear. Like, I said exactly what I felt in the moment, and I was fiery. And I was like, I don't appreciate this. It was just a few months ago. And, you know, it's like, most likely your parents aren't going to change. Your brother and sister, they're not going to change. Your friends from high school, not going to change. So the only person that can make a possible shift or change in the way that they communicate, react, respond energetically is you, is me, is us. And I've noticed that being here in this very magical beach hippie town in Mexico, it's called Sayulita, that by shifting my energy, that I don't need to carry around the grudge, the story of betrayal from the former client or the former friend or whoever it is. I don't need to feel like anyone owes me anything or an apology. If they feel like giving back what we had agreed upon, then it will be accepted and received. But always seeking to control and to have everything in a way that is manageable is unrealistic, and it's also unhealthy. For me, and this is a big lesson and intention behind my time here and talking to you today, is about when we get into that flow state and we let go of control, we don't need to carry around resentment or betrayal or remorse or grudges. We can be fully at peace and we can move on and meet the new love of our life. Well, with that being said, I would love to hear from you about how you are evolving your brand around dating and relationship breakup and recovery in this coming year.
Yeah, well, it's been a journey. I started by my intention is to help people become the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
To find healing and be able to express themselves authentically, settle boundaries so they can, have the best experience in life and bring their light to the world. So my first approach was to go into the stress management space, because as you said, in order to do that, we need to get out of the survival, the stress response, so the survival instinct state, right? Yeah. And so I was thinking, if I help people with stress, then eventually they'll get there. And then I was thinking, but I need to be able to be relatable to people. And I've been through this breakup situation and I know how it felt and I know the mistakes to avoid because I've done them and I've hurt people that I really cared about without trying to. And so this year is going to be about, putting my voice out there, reaching out to people, And I need, yeah, creating more content. But the whole goal that I have with my practice is really help people take care of themselves, getting connected to their body, working out the grief of the relationship, because really, like, when a relationship ends, it's like a little death of whatever your life was before that point, and now you need to figure out how you're gonna make a new version of yourself without that person, and then deal with the challenges that life throws at you, and always having a positive attitude in the way you build your future, because you can have everything you want if you have the right mindset and you take the right steps. And that's really what I want to help people do, navigate. Often, you know, like, people don't always understand what coaching is, and I feel like coaching is really that. We don't have all the answers. We don't know everything. We're human beings like everyone, and we're learning too. But there are things, what a good coach does is really asking the questions that will allow the other person to come to their own realization so they can feel in control of their lives. And then we help them take action steps that will go in the direction, that will help them go in the direction they want to go to. So I'm excited about it. I feel like it's going to go really well, and I'm looking forward to it.
And where's the best place if someone wants to connect with you?
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram, Alex Beasley Coach. That's what it's called. For now, I'm only on Instagram. That's where I operate most. You can find me on Facebook as well, Alexandre Beasley. And we'll see what comes next. But for now, that's pretty much what it is.
Beautiful, Alex. Well, guys, if you're in a relationship in business or in your personal life and you're still holding on to something, a grudge, frustration, anger, remorse, guilt, victimhood, it's time to release that into the ocean and let it drift away. Let it wash away so that you can move on with your life. And if you resonated with this episode, feel free to drop a comment, share it with a friend who might be going through a difficult relationship right now, and reach out to Alex or myself if you want to connect on a deeper level. You guys know where to find me, @DaveGoldEvolve on Instagram, and we'll see you in the next episode.